Brother Lou Rossi is a very dear friend of mine, and boy, what a thrill to hear how God used him at that camp. And I just want to remind you, the devil with a passion hates what happened at that campground. Because you see, the devil lost ground. He lost grip on these young people. And boy, if it doesn't thrill you to see God get a hold in their lives and the decisions that were made, that is magnificent. Great lives are normally not put together one great leap. Great lives for God are put together one step at a time where you make the right decisions. And boy, it just thrilled me to hear about these young people. That was wonderful. And thank you again for all of the incredible music. My, and that just touched my heart across the board. And your pastor and this staff has treated us so graciously. I have eaten about 15,000 calories today and loved every single one of them. And your pastor's wife who puts together the basket for the room, it's wonderful. There's no fruit in it. It's wonderful. Nothing worse than a fruit basket full of fruit. You sit there looking for something good to eat and you got to unload the whole thing. I tell the story, I went to a doctor, and he said, I want you to lose some weight, and he said, I'm going to give you a diet. And boy, it was a brutal diet. He said, I want you to buy a juicer. How many of you know what a juicer is? It's a wicked little thing. I tell you, you stick like a carrot in the top, it goes, out comes carrot juice or an apple. And he said, here's what I want you to do. He said, for 2 weeks, I don't want you to eat anything that doesn't go through a juicer. I thought, sweet Alabama. I was in utter agony for a day and a half. Then I discovered a Snickers bar will go through a juicer. Don't let the smoke and noise bother you. Just keep pressing. It will go. Oh. Turn in your Bibles to Psalms 1, and would you stand with me if you would? By the way, while we've been here, as you know, the Ellises are going to have some young'uns come into this world, and boy, we have great names all picked out for them that Crystal has agreed to and given her word to, and you can ask her what they are. They are great names. I promise you, there won't be another kid within 1,000 miles with those names. You go to a foreign land, they won't have those names, okay? And it has been just such a treat to be with this precious family. And I hope you know that when God brought the Tids here, he brought you his best. And boy, I pray you uphold him in prayer. The devil would love to hurt this family, to hurt the testimony of this family. And boy, I hope you're bearing them up in prayer. Your pastor carries burdens that he can't speak of and that no one else knows, but he faithfully upholds them before the Lord. And boy, I pray that you pray for him. How many of you tonight will pray for your preacher? Boy, that's so important. Psalm 1 has a great promise in it, and we're about to read this promise. This was George Washington's favorite psalm, and it was the psalm that he requested to be preached at his inauguration. And by the way, they preached for almost 2 hours from it. How many of you think that'd be a great inauguration to go to, right? 2 hours of preaching. Whenever he had preachers come out to the field, he always requested they preach from Psalm 1. Because in Psalm 1 is a promise of God that every child of God would want activated in their life. Permit me to paraphrase it, then we'll read it. God says, if you and I will do 3 simple things, that whatever we do will prosper. Now, he doesn't say it'll be easy, but he said it will prosper. And why would we not want that promise activated? But he said, don't do these three things, and you will be hyper unstable in your walk for God. That's Psalm 1. Let's get ready to read the passage together, starting at verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Father, my prayer tonight for every heart here is that by your Spirit you would speak to us. We want, for your honor, for your glory, what we do to prosper. Hear the cry of our heart tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God so very clearly says in verse 1, if you and I do these three things, whatsoever we do will prosper. But then in verse 4 comes this unbelievable warning. And if we're not careful, we bypass the warning because the word starts out with the ungodly. And we say, that's not us. Now, permit me, because the word ungodly here is different than the word we use today. When we use the word ungodly today, we use it when we're looking for an adverb for something that's wretched and vile and horrible and despicably wrong. And so we're looking for what word can we use to describe something that is just absolutely so unredeeming of anything. And we say, that's just ungodly. That's not the word used here. The word used here, un means not, godly means God's way. God says, you do it my way, and whatever you do will prosper. Yeah. But then he says, don't do it my way. Be not godly. And he said, you'll be like the chaff which the wind driveth away. My family, every year, because we raise so many cattle, put in thousands of acres of corn. And when we'd be harvesting all of that corn, man, we'd be at silos and mills and putting it all up, and that chaff dust from that corn would get everywhere, Pastor. You know what I've discovered? It took next to no wind to stir that chaff dust. The slightest little breeze would come in, it'd go up your nose, it'd go down your shirt, it'd go up under your ball cap, it'd come up under your pant legs, because it takes next to nothing to disturb chaff. God says, do it my way, and whatever you do will prosper. But he says, don't do it my way. That's all it's going to take to rock your life. Have you ever said, I shouldn't be like this? I shouldn't be so spiritually unstable. What's the matter with me? Well, God says, read Psalm 1. The ungodly, the not God's way people, are like the chaff. How many of you want to be stable and you want whatever you do to prosper? Hold your hand up. Well, let's go back up then and look at how we correct all of this. Verse 1. Blessed is the man. Now, the word blessed means right, it means correct, it means honorable, it means good. It means blessable. You understand, God wants to bless us. He wants to. Now, how many of you have children again? Hold your hand up. Now, how many of you love your kids more than you could ever, ever say? Yeah, how many of you want to kill them on occasion? Right. there's moments while you love that child, they're not blessable. There's moments you got to say to that child, young man, young lady, no way, no how. That's not going to be allowed. God says, I want to bless you, but you've got to be where I can bless you. Blessed is the man. Now let's look at the three requirements. Number one, that walketh not in the counsel. Boy, there's that word again, of the ungodly. Do you know what counsel is? That's the influence you let into your life. That's the impact of what you permit in. And everybody here is 100% in control of the influence you let in. Now, God created you with two access points for influence. Number one is your eyes. Number two is your ears. That's why the world says, hey, look at this, look at here, look at this, look at this. That's why they say, hey, listen to this, because they want in. I promise you, in this church service, we're doing everything we can to capture your eyes and ears. Because that's how you get in. We hope you see it. We pray you hear it. Now, we pray it's for God's honor and glory. But God says, be incredibly careful where you put your eyes, where you put your ears, and do not let the not God's way stuff in. Whoa. How careful are you with your eyes, with your ears? We used to, in Sunday school, have a little song, and I'll just bet you've taught the kids the song here. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. How many of you know that song? For your Father up above is looking down in love. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, you say, that's a great song. That's a great song for everybody. Because you see, where you put your eyes and ears, you put your life. And God says, I want you to be careful. Do not let the not God's way stuff in. We were at a pastor's home for a Sunday afternoon. It was a huge Bible conference, and they prepared a huge buffet at the pastor's home. And it was during the football playoffs with the pros, and man, we're sitting there watching a team play on the screen, and all of a sudden they got these cheerleaders up here who are not cheerleaders, they're burlesque dancers. And they're leaning over, and the cameras are panning to take shots and everything. And here's two dozen preachers, we're watching it. The pastor stood up and he said, I apologize. That's not godly. And he turned it off. I thought, I wonder if I'd have done that. I wonder if you'd have done that. And why would you trade whatever you do will prosper for that? Why would you give it away? I was in a motel room. I preached on Sunday, and it was during March Madness. And I wanted to see some of the basketball scores. And, man, I'm sitting on the edge of my bed, and I'm channel surfing. How many of you like the remote? By the way, it's in the Bible somewhere. The man holds the remote. It's in the Bible, okay? Or it ought to be. Anyway, I'm channel surfing. And all of a sudden, I'm watching something, and it's not X or R. It's nothing like that. But it was sure not godly. And I'm watching it. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, why would you trade whatever you do will prosper for that? And I thought, what's the matter with me? Now, you see, the world says, oh, come on, lighten up. You can handle it. You're a big boy. You're a big girl. You can handle. You know what God says? Do not let the ungodly influence in. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. I want to warn you, parents and grandparents, the kids know what everybody's watching. And where we put our eyes and ears matters to God. And you're 100% in control of it. Boy, the first key to having whatever we do will prosper is to be careful where we put our eyes and ears, because that's the counsel. Look at the second one. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Now, this one is exactly the word we use today. God says, I don't want you acting the way sinners act. Don't stand in the way. Have you ever seen people doing something? You say, just look at the way those people are behaving. That's the word here. God says there's to be something distinctively different. The New Testament uses the word peculiar. There's to be something distinctively different about God's people. We do not stand in the way of sinners. Now, I believe that what has helped me honor that is a little test that I use. And it's found in Scripture, and I want to share it with you because I use this test in my life dozens and dozens of times every day. And I have found it very helpful. The Bible says the day you got saved, and how many of you here have asked the Lord Jesus to save you? Hold your hand. Okay. The day you got saved, the Bible says you are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter how educated, how sophisticated or non-sophisticated, you are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, an ambassador has one job in life. That is to make the person who chose him look good. When America chooses an ambassador and we send them off to a foreign land, they better make America look good, because if they don't, we're pulling them home real quick. My one job in life is to make Jesus Christ look good. And that's the test that I use. Did this make Jesus look good? I wonder if you can say, boy, at work last week, I made Jesus look good. Man, the way I made house, the way I made, man, I made Jesus Christ look good. That no matter what you're doing, it applies to everything. Did I make the Son of God look good? That's my one job in life. And that's the easiest test that I know of how not to walk in the way of sinners. Am I making Jesus good? My office called me and they said, man, get to the airport early. I'm in San Diego. This was when they had that first round of terrorist alerts. They said they're taking everything out of your bags, lotions, pills, foams, everything. And get there, it's all messed up. Get there. And I got to the airport over 4 hours ahead of time. Now, I only got one job at that airport. One job. And that's to make Jesus look good. But I forgot my one job. When I got there, they had shut down all the electronics, and there were two lines. And the lines were huge. Take your auditorium from that side to that side three times. And the minute I saw those lines, I got ticked off. You say, why'd you get ticked off? Because they were there. How many of you do not like lines? Hold your hand up. And there's two of them. It doesn't matter which one I pick, it'll be the wrong one. Now, wait a minute. I only got one job in life, and that's to make Jesus Christ look good in those lines. That's my job. But I forgot. They were moving painfully slow. People were so mad, so upset. People all around me were cussing terrible. And I didn't cuss, but I felt like saying amen a few times. I got to tell you, I'm like, It took two, almost three, over 2.5 hours to get to the counter. Now I'm at the counter. And I only got one job at that counter. Make Jesus look good. That's my job. The lady at the counter said, Mr. Gibbs, your flight leaves in less than 2 hours. I said, I know. Oh, she said, you'll never make it. You should have come earlier. Now, when she said that, my hair went ga-boing. I said, lady, if brains was gasoline, you couldn't prime an ant's motorcycle. I said, why don't you tell us that? You see, when I get upset, words just come to me. People say, I was at a loss for words. I've never been at a loss for words. And by the way, neither have most of you. Oh, I was mad. She said, look, let me explain something to you. She said, that's the line to go through security. She said, do you see that sign there? I said, yes. Yeah. She said, from that sign in is over 2 hours. And it's taken 3 to 4 hours to get to that sign. She said, you got a minimum of 5 more hours. What do you want me to do? Forgot my one job. I called my office. I said, man, get me on another flight. They said, there's not another flight for a month. I said, get me a rental car. They said, there's not one on the planet. I said, get me a motel room. Same thing. No. How many of y'all ever said, how'd I get in this mess? Have y'all ever said that? I said, give me this. I don't know what I'm going to do. I walked out, went over a man bridge, and the line is in the San Diego airport parking lot going back and forth. Now I'm in the parking lot standing out there. And I got one job. Make the Son of God look good. But when you get upset, the devil will get you focused on what's got you riled up. And you'll forget your one job. Suddenly, out of nowhere, I hear my name. Brother Gibbs, over here, Brother Gibbs. And man, I look up and here comes a preacher. I don't know his name, I just know his face. He comes up to me, and when I saw him coming, I thought, Lord, I am not in the mood to mess with a preacher right now. I'm just not. And he's like all bubbly and all happy. And he comes up by me. He's, oh, it's so good to see you. So good to see you. What an honor to see you. I said, oh, yes, good to see you too. He said, I heard you preach 2 weeks ago. I said, oh. He said, you remember what you preached on? I said, no, I don't remember. He said, you preached on this is the day the Lord hath made and will what, Brother Gibbs? I said, we'll rejoice and be glad in it, right? And you know what I'm thinking? His elevators are not hitting the upper floors. I mean, good grief. He said, isn't this wonderful out here? This is so wonderful. And I finally just had all, I said, wonderful. This is a nightmare. He said, oh, you haven't figured it out. I said, figured what out? Oh, he said, Brother Gibbs, everybody in these lines is mad and upset. I said, yeah. And he said, all they're talking about is should we get on a plane? Because if it goes down, what would happen if we die? He said, this is the easiest soul winning you've ever done in your life. He said, watch this. A line's going this way, we're going that way. He taps on the guy's shoulder. He said, can I talk to you a minute? He said, sure. He said, crazy day. A lot of nutty things happening. And he said, I think we'd probably all be good. But he said, I'm going to tell you, if you're going to get on a plane today, it'd be a very good idea to know what would happen if you died. Before the guy could say a word, his wife jumped in. How many of you know a lady will answer the phone when nobody rings it? I mean, she just in. You know what she said? I've been telling him that for 4 hours. Will you talk some sense into his head? It's nuts for us to get on a plane. There's all these kooky people doing crazy stuff. Neither one of us has any idea what would happen if we died. Talk some sense into his head. Now a whole bunch of people are turning around because she's loud. The preacher said, I think you're going to be fine, but he said, I got something here I want to give you. He said, this can tell you how to know for sure. Because one day will be your last day. And I'd like to share it with you. He went to hand it to the man, and he never got to take it. The lady grabbed it. What happened next amazed me. Four people that way and three more that way said, have you got any more of those? He turned to me and he said, isn't this wonderful? He said, yeah, here you go. He turned back to me and he said, Brother Gibbs, we do have a problem out here. I said, what's the problem? He said, your face. I said, my face? Can I remind you, your face is God's billboard? It talks all the time. He said, you look just as unhappy as all the people here. He said, now fix your face. Here's a bundle of tracts and go get them. I thought, what is the matter with me? I got one job in life, to make the Son of God look good. That's my job. God says, be careful where you put your eyes and ears. Do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And remember, whoever you give your eyes and ears to, you're saying, influence me, counsel me. Here I am. And then he says, do not walk in the way of sinners. You got one job. Make Jesus look good. Look at the third and final command. This is one that I have to be careful with. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Do you know what a scorning person is? It's a griper, a complainer. It's an unhappy camper. It's somebody who's upset. And God says, I want you, by divine command, to stop griping. It's a sin to gripe. It's a sin. Now, we think the sin is griping too much. That's not the sin. The sin is griping at all. And God says, stop it. Do you realize in the Old Testament, God killed more of the children of Israel for griping than all other sins combined? That's how serious he treats the sin of griping. How many of you think we'd be in trouble today if God killed Christians for griping? We'd have a whole lot of funerals to do if we had preachers alive to do them. Because, boy, I'm afraid we somehow have gotten casual with that sin. I haven't counted them, but very conservative Bible scholars have. Every time you gripe, every time, you commit over 130 different sins. Every time. Now, some rejoice. There went that one. Again, I say rejoice. There went that one. In everything, give thanks. There went that one. Walk in the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. Bing, 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 bing. We knocked all of those off. Over 130 sins every time we gripe. And God says, I don't want you to limit it. I want you to stop it. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. I ask you an intensely personal question. Have you ever lived one day, one, saying by God's grace, I'm not griping about anything today? Nothing. Because every time I do, it's this monumental number of sins. And then I come to church and say, bless me, help me, be with me. And I've been doing this incredible number of griping sins. I checked in a motel very late at night, almost 3 in the morning. When I got there, new motel, nice lady. I said, I got to be down at the courthouse at 8. I need to get up about 5:30. She said, no problem. I went up to my room and something happened that night I wasn't ready for. My room had no running water. None. None in the sink, none in the shower, none in the commode. No water at all. So I called down to the front desk and I said, my room doesn't have any running water. Now, I don't know what the girl should have said, but what she said just jump-started me. I said, my room has no running water, and the girl said, I know. And I said, what do you mean, you know? She said, I can't explain it. It's the only room in the whole place with no running water. She said, every other room has running water, and it wasn't going to be your room. It was another guy's room, and he was so mad about no running water, we gave him your room and you this one because it was so late, we thought maybe you weren't coming. I was ticked off. I said, you owe your mom an apology for the day you were born. I said, to call you stupid would be to defame the word. Oh, I just blitzed. Finally, after about a minute's worth, real quiet, I said, you still there? I thought maybe she hung up. She said, no, I'm still here. I said, you got anything to say? She said, well, since you asked, I have one thing to say. I said, what's that? She said, I go to a Bible college where you come preach every year. I said, hey, you knew I was just kidding you, right? Man. She said, well, you were in my home church. You signed my Bible. And I pray for your ministry and send a small amount. She said, I'm so sorry. I said, young lady, you didn't do anything. It's me. I went down by her. I literally got on my knees. And I said, what I did to you, I'd never want somebody to do to my wife or daughter. She said, yeah, but I'm... I said, no, no, no. It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with me. You are never justified in committing that sin. Never. Boy, and I begged her forgiveness. Maybe a year or more, I'm in her home church, and I came walking in. Preacher met me, and he said, you know, a girl in our church said she met you at a motel where she checked you in. And I thought, oh, sweet Alabama, here we go. And I said, where was this now? Man, I knew right where it was. And he told me, and I said, oh, I said, what did the girl have to say? Oh, just how much she loves you. And what an honor it was to help you. And how she prays for you. I said, that's all she said? He said, yeah. I said, let me tell you what I did to her. And I told him everything. I said, she didn't tell you any of that? He said, Brother Gibbs, she's too good a Christian to ever complain about you. Ever. She's an orphan. She has no idea who her mother and father are. She doesn't know her birth date. When you said you owe your mother an apology for the day you were born, you must have hurt her bad. But she never complained about you. Never. Because she doesn't complain about anything. I thought, what is the matter with me? Be careful. When you get comfortable griping, this sin will become you. You say, what do you mean? Have you ever seen somebody who cusses and they get to where they cuss and don't even know they're cussing? The sin became them. When you get comfortable with this sin, you will be doing it and it will become you. You want to know how good a Christian you are? What does it take to make you gripe? That's as good of a Christian as you are. How good a Christian am I? Turn off the water, I'll gripe. You know what? By the grace of God, we don't want to gripe. And we forfeit whatever we do will prosper when we do it. Oh, don't let that get in your life. Ladies, please hear this the right way. It is not that ladies gripe more than men, because they don't. But they're better at it. And you say, why do you say that? Because ladies have these magnificent countenances and they can talk with their faces and never say a word. How many of you men know a lady can put a look on her face that you can see at 1,000 yards in the dark? How many of you men know that's true? Hold your hand up. You see, I'd hold my hand up, but she'll put that look on her face and I'll have to live with it all night. Oh, listen. By the grace of God, we have to stop, right? It's a sin that breaks the heart of God. I was in California. It was raining torrentially. And I was to catch a little bus to go over to the motel. And they said, man, run outside. You'll get wet, but stand under a shelter there. And I did it. And I waited almost an hour and no bus from the motel. All the other buses, but so I ran back in. Now I'm wetter. I said, hey, where's the bus? They said, oh, we forgot. Go back out. It'll be right over. So I ran out again. Now I'm really wet. And I wait another hour. No bus. So I run back in. Where's the bus? They said, oh, the girl's having trouble. She's new. She can't find you. Go back out there. She'll be there shortly. So I run back out again. Finally, she shows up. When the girl gets out of the bus, young girl, looks at me and she said, boy, you look wet. And all I could think of is your powers of observation are amazing. I'm soaked. I put my bags in the back, jumped up in the back of the van, and she's driving. And as we're driving out of the airport, she said, how'd your day go? And I thought, now, Lord, she asked. I ought to be able to comment on my day. And I said, well, before I answer that question, I want to ask you a question. She said, sure, go ahead. I said, you don't go to Bible college anywhere, do you? True. She said, yes, I do. And she said, I've just recognized your voice. You're David Gibbs, aren't you? I said, Lord, I was that close to messing up all over again. Oh, I want whatever I do to prosper. For God's honor, for God's glory, for our ministry, for our family, for my friends. Every child of God wants that activated. But God says, you got to not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Be careful where you give your eyes and ears to. Number two, He said, do not stand in the way of sinners. You have one job in life, and that's to make the Son of God look good. Number three, do not sit in the seat of the scornful. God, by your power, by your grace, I'm done griping about anything. Anything. I promise you, God keeps his word. And he will activate this promise in your life and mine if we, by his grace, keep his commands. I struggle with these, and that's why I like to tell stories on myself. I have people come up to me and say, you're not the hero of your stories. The problem is I know me. But by the grace of God, I want what I do to prosper. And I'm going to be careful where my eyes and ears are. And I got one job, make Jesus look good. And I am absolutely done griping. Now the choice is yours. Father, thank you for your word. It's so powerful. It's so clear. Oh, by your grace, by your power, we can do these things.